Man, thank you, worship team. But man, I got a bone to pick with you guys because I was doing good all morning, Mark, kind of conserving my voice because my throat seems like it's just wearing out lately. I don't know. Maybe I'm yelling at the kids a lot. Yeah. Well, I was doing good to that last song. But then when you say Emmanuel, the God who saves, you got to belt that out, right?
Yes.
And now you get to sit down and I have to talk for like hour and 45 minutes. All right. So should have applauded. That's an applauding moment, church. Yay, an hour and 45 minutes. Let's go. All right, well, this morning we are in full Christmas mode. Can always tell because that's when Rusty bails and lets the worship team handle the difficulty of the Christmas carols because he says they're a pain to play. That's not why. They're with Dorian down in Florida today. But thank you, worship team. That was a great morning this morning. I'm so thankful for your leadership and thankful that we worship the God who saves, man, Emmanuel, God with us, present gift, Jesus, epic stuff. So in the season of Christmas, you know, there's a lot of things as a pastor you think, man, we should talk about, you know, like shepherds and angels and Bethlehem and pregnancy, right? All kinds of stuff that we get into that's just so Christmassy. And this morning, we're going to talk about something a little different. Well, not true. It's very traditional in a lot of churches. They spend December 11th, pushing buttons that don't work, going over the Lord's Prayer. And this morning, we're going to do the Lord's Prayer, and here's why. Ty, come up here, man. Would you join me a second? It's, you know, very customary to go through the Lord's Prayer around the Christmas season. How many of you guys have heard of a Christmas sermon about the Lord's Prayer? I haven't, but that's cool. I'm glad you guys are paying attention to stuff. That's great. Because the Lord's Prayer isn't something we usually talk about a lot at Christmas time. But this turkey was in my class this week in Fishers at the Bible class down at Mission Christian Academy. I'm like a lion prowling around. I'm sorry, dude. I can't stay still.
It's fine.
Is that working?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good. I love Ty coming up here because he makes me look like a schmuck dressed like this. You know what I mean? Like classy dude. So we're sitting in Bible class, and this week, we've been unpacking, well, the last couple weeks, the Lord's Prayer a little bit. We've been teaching about what Jesus, well, feels arrogant to say we've been teaching about the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is unpacking this Sermon on the Mount, right? He is laying out some really big-time biblical truth. And I'm not really teaching it. I'm trying also to get my mind around the wisdom of Jesus, right? So we're kind of unpacking together the Sermon on the Mount, right? That's been pretty good?
Yeah, it's been great.
Learned a lot of good stuff?
I love it.
Yeah? You want to A my class? You want an A in my class? That's what's going on
here. I
already
have an A.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. So much optimism. So we did this Lord's Prayer thing this week and kind of unpacked the Lord's Prayer. And Ty raised his hand like on Wednesday maybe and said.
It was Thursday. That on Thursday, yeah.
It was only Thursday, man. You really put me up against it. So I had something else I was going to do this week, but Ty raised his hand and said, Mr. Wait. And I try not to call on Ty, but I did, right? First mistake, right? Right, fair. And Ty said, are you going to preach on this on Sunday? And I said, the Lord's Prayer on the middle of December, 2 weeks out from Christmas? And I'm shaking my head. And as I do, he puts his hand back up and he says, I think you should, Mr. Waite. I think you should. So here's the deal. I have a personal motto in my life. Anytime a high schooler says, you should talk about this stuff Jesus said, I think, you know what? Maybe we're going to do that. So what we're going to do this morning, because then my follow-up question, I think, was this. What'd I say next? Do you remember?
I don't, no.
There goes that A, right? We're going to see how solid that A is this morning, let me tell you. Right after that, I said, hey, dude, you going to help me preach on Sunday?
I said yes.
You said yes. And guess where you are right now? Center stage, man. I'm off to the corner here, and Ty right up front. Yeah? Yeah. So I'm looking forward to a great Christmas morning. We'll have a good time. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it to you. All right. So, but I did rack my brain because it is Christmas time, right? And so I thought maybe in typical Andy White Rock nonsense way, maybe we could do something called the Lord's Prayer and add a little twist, right? Maybe Christmas edition. What do you think? Does that pass off? Does that get us into the Christmas mood enough? All right, Dax, would you go grab that stuff for me? We're going to get a stool out of there, a whiteboard, easel. We got stuff to do. Because I told Ty, if he's going to help, he sits in my class mostly talking to girls all week, so it's my time to Not really. But I will say, when your mom came to class one time wearing her uniform, I might have told the kids they were all in trouble, and it worked really well. So if you're a security guard or you work for the police department or prisons, come visit me sometime, like fifth period. It'd be great. Oh, I'm sorry, not really. Extra credit. That's how he got the A. That's right. His mom terrified everybody. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Go ahead, Dax, the other side. This is a super high-quality whiteboard, and it will probably only fall twice during this. Ty, you got this? Mm-hmm. Perfect. There's your stool, too, if you need it. Well, we're going to unpack the Lord's Prayer together, okay? And you guys can be a part of it, too. It's totally cool. We'll see how this works. Probably an epic fail, but Thomas Edison learned like thousands of ways not to preach, right? Before he invented the light bulb. So that's what we're doing. I'm just kidding. I thought that was funny. Okay, anyways, moving on. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus unpacks the Lord's Prayer. He says, this is how you should pray. Now, here's probably some important context. Ty, tell us a second about the Sermon on the Mount. It begins with the Beatitudes, right? And then Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, teachers of the law, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of heaven. And you think the Israelites thought that was cool or confusing, or what do you think they thought? You got to hold that real close. Were you sick that day?
No.
Good, I didn't think you were sick that day. So Jesus says your righteousness better look better than all these Pharisees, right?
Right, because all the Pharisees would wear these like ribbons and boxes on their clothing so that they could look at it and it was scripture. So every time that they would look at themselves, they would see the scripture. So if you surpass that of the Pharisees, then...
So the Pharisees were really good, you're right, about looking pretty righteous on the inside?
On the outside.
On the outside, that's right. And Jesus said their cup... Like, just getting beatbox up here. Teenagers today. So their cup... Look good on the outside, but the inside was a mess. And Jesus challenged them that their righteousness was kind of a phony righteousness. He cares about the heart, right? And he gets into this section on prayer after he's talked about murder. Like, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I tell you. See in the Bible. All right. I tell you, don't even harbor what in your heart?
Anger,
right? That resentment that builds because you're letting that at a heart level become what the murder action is on the outside. Man, that's a evidence that your heart is not where it should be. And Jesus cares about our heart, right? So he gets into the section on prayer and he talks a little bit about the Pharisees and the way that they would give to the needy and the way that they would pray. And how did they pray, Ty? The Pharisees.
That's a great question.
I thought it was a good question, too. I thought it was a really good question. Maybe be on a test kind of question. You know what I'm saying? That kind of good question.
Yeah.
They would do this. Da-da-da-da. They didn't say puppy power, but I mean, I appreciate the... Yeah. So the Pharisees, I'm sure this will all come back to you. The Pharisees loved to stand up in the synagogues and on the street corners and say... Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to pray. Blah, 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 blah. Endless gibberish. Not, I should say gibberish, but huge words. Eloquent, fancy, lots of talking. Big, self-grandizing kind of moments for the Pharisees to draw the praise of God or the praise of men?
Praise of man.
Praise of man, right? Because. And Jesus warned us, if we chase after the praise of men, what's our reward? The praise of men. Right? But we're supposed to chase after God and his heart, right? So when we pray, we're supposed to pray with authentic hearts, not a lot of words. Jesus says, don't keep babbling. Just keep babbling. You think God's going to hear you? I mean, sometimes I think God listens to people who stand there praying with big, eloquent words and endlessly. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're smart and you know big words and you're talking to God, that's okay. But you know what it's like around the Christmas table this time of year. Well, we should probably say grace. Everybody close their eyes and holy God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit of the harvest of bountiful pleasures, bring upon thee, And that's all the King James words they know to say, right? And then they're out, right? We see it all the time. It's not authentic heart. It's not authentic prayer. Maybe it's an effort to try to look spiritual, but the Pharisees struggled with this, right? They prayed big words, and they prayed lots of words, but they did it, Jesus said, so that people would look at them and be like, oh, look how holy you are. When they fasted, they distorted their faces, and they looked disheveled to look like they were fasting. And Jesus said, you've received your reward in full. This is how you ought to pray. And this is where he unpacks for us something we call the Lord's Prayer. And Ty, there's something super important in this phrase Jesus says. This then is how you should pray. What does Jesus not say? Do you remember? He doesn't use this word.
What?
What?
The word, what?
Oh, what? Good. Just make sure you're paying attention. Jesus does not say, and this is critical to understanding the Lord's Prayer. Jesus does not say, this is what you should pray. He says, this is how you should pray. Because we make the same mistake that the Pharisees did. We think we're supposed to do some rote, chant, memorized prayer of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Blah, 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 right? Just we do all of this memorized chanting back to God, right? Yes, I missed a section. I get it. But the point is that Jesus says, I want you to pray like this. I don't necessarily want you to pray this. And somehow in the process, we got to where we thought if we just pray the Lord's Prayer, and we say it, that's fulfilling the heart of Jesus. And Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Not what you should pray, it's how. You ought to pray like this. When you talk to God, you ought to pray like this. And it's taught to us in the context of him reprimanding the phoniness in the church and in his people. People who look the part, but their heart's not genuine. People who say the right words on the outside, but their heart is far from God. People who look clean on the outside but are filthy on the inside. And Jesus says, hey, don't do all this stuff. When you pray, do this, okay? So here we go. And you asked for this, right? It begins with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. What are we talking about here, Ty? Father.
God.
God who? I mean, we're all talking about the same God. Not like Allah or something like that, right? The God, the
right.
One true God.
Yeah. The only God.
What's the word father mean?
Dad.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid. Yeah. This F in father really reminds us of the idea of family, right? Of relationship. Because God is our heavenly father, and we have access, and we have opportunity to commune with him, connect with him, talk to him, because he's our heavenly father, right? And we can address him because we're his son or his daughter. And Jesus starts off saying, hey, you ought to pray like this. Hey, heavenly father, it's me, your son, Andy. Hi, dad, right? Interesting dynamic. We should probably write that down since you got a whiteboard. So we'll go with like family nice and big. This is the hardest thing to do as a teacher, I've noticed, is to write things on the board. I tell people all the time, this is not spelling class. This is Bible class.
You chose the wrong person to write stuff. Just saying.
You're the one who volunteered, man. And this was your idea to begin with, so I don't feel bad for you. All right, so family. And then let's put a little dash over here, a little arrow maybe. And then we'll use this word relationship. Real big R. Yeah. So, being a pastor, you've got to use like those alliterations. That's what you do, right? Even if the words don't make sense. So hang with me. All right. So Jesus teaches us to come before God as sons and daughters, right? Family. There's a family relationship. So when you address your dad, you do that in a familiar kind of way, right? It's your dad's not some, oh, sacred being, right? Like, for instance, Noah, when he came home from college to see his parents this weekend, I heard on the download from Lindsay that he walked in, he opened the door, and he said, oh, sacred ruler of the realm, it is I, your son, who has returned unto thee. Is that how you address your dad, man?
Pretty much.
Okay, good. I thought so. That's You know what? You're getting into the next part, Noah. That's solid. This idea of hallowed, which is holy, and to honor. Now, if your dad was in fact a ruler of some realm, it might be okay to address him like that, right? And Jesus teaches us that we ought to address our Father in heaven with a degree of honor. You should write honor down. That'd be good. Yeah. And why would we try to honor someone? What do you think, Ty? What are we trying to show them?
Respect.
Respect. That's a good R word. Let's put that down. Good deal. Respect. Yeah. So we have an interesting dynamic because Jesus says, come before your heavenly Father, your Abba, Father, relationship, and yet keeping in mind that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So is it wrong to come before him and say, gracious King and Heavenly Father? No, it's not wrong. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not wrong to address him as a king. But don't mistake how Jesus laid it out first. He started you with family, right? He started you with Father. He started you with a relationship. Don't get them mixed up. Don't come before the King of Kings in big time homage, forgetting that you're there because you're his kid and he invited you to come in to start with, right? There's relationship. He loves you. And there ought to be some honor and respect there. While Noah probably didn't say, oh, blessed ruler of this realm, he probably also didn't walk in and say, what's up, P diddly o wop, right? I mean, maybe you did that. You probably did that one. That's probably more legit, right? What's up, Baldy? I mean, did you go with Baldy? Because that might, Baldy, I don't know what's right, Derek. Sorry, I can't tell from here. Yeah, you're welcome. There's a degree of respect that we show even to our earthly fathers. And if you don't, you should, Jed. Just so everybody knows, just kind of throwing that out there generally, right? Right? So Jesus says, come before me relationally. Come before me with honor, right? All right, so I promised us a little Christmas, so we got to kind of add a little Christmas twist to this. So as we think about this little stanza, this phrase God kind of lays out for us clearly here in his word, maybe we should think about a little bit what we were talking about last week, the idea of presence, the gift, and remember that Christmas is our Father's gift to us. Because we're sons, and because he loves us, and we're daughters, and he loves us, he gave us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? And the reason we celebrate Christmas is because of that gift. And the reason we even have the ability to say our Father in heaven is because Christmas, right? Because that baby came, that gift of Jesus shows up. It's the entry point to even being able to have access. If Jesus had never come, there's no cross, there's no Easter, right? Christmas is foundational to what Jesus does for us. And the word hallowed, holy, what a holy night. We sing those songs, right? Oh, holy night and silent night. And we remember that sacred and set apart and holy is our God. And Christmas gets busy with a lot of stuff and a lot of distraction. But try to remember that Christmas is pretty sacred because of what it represents. It's a holy season because of what it represents. It might have some value in that. Good Christmas tie-in? We'll count it?
Yeah, of course.
We'll count it. Good. All right, let's move on. Your kingdom come, your will be done, and you might recognize the little phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. I feel like I've heard that recently around here. I'm not sure where, but it had a little bit of a Middle Eastern kind of accent to it when I heard it. On earth as it is in heaven, interesting tie-in that it ties right into, wait, I think Krikor stole his sermon title from the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too. You should tell him one of the Ten Commandments is don't steal, but that's something else. Okay, anyways, your kingdom come, your will be done. Question, Ty, is this, are we supposed to pray like, my kingdom come, my will be done?
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not. Whose kingdom?
God's kingdom.
God's kingdom, your kingdom. Your will. What's this word will mean, you think? I swear, dude, if you're looking at the thing coming next.
I'm not.
This is how he gets an A in my class. He's cheating, Mom, just so you know. Okay, he's looking ahead at what's the next slide. Oh.
Probably agenda.
Oh, you're so smart, Ty. I love this guy. Gifted student. That's great. Yeah. What's agenda mean? And it's not on a slide. Ha ha.
No, it's not.
You have to use a mic, though, because you're teaching now, right?
Like you have an agenda.
You know when they say, like, don't use a word to define a word? That's not a thing. Yeah. What's an agenda, man? What do you think? Don't cheater. Cheaters throughout the family. What's going on, Dustin, Christina? Come on. No, no. He wanted this. He wanted this opportunity.
You're right. I didn't. I should have. But he didn't. This wasn't a part of it last week.
I changed it.
He changed it.
Agenda. Is agenda? Yeah. What is like young people like? Are you old? You know what? It's Christmas. I'm going backwards. Buy a youth group hat. You'll look young. Okay. Anyways, agenda is kind of our plan,
right.
Our will, our purpose, our desire, right? And so, what Jesus is saying here is, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done." What he's really talking about is this idea of submitting, right? That we are to submit as we come before our Heavenly Father, who's relational. We love him. He loves us. We have relationship. We honor and we respect him. And then Jesus teaches us to say, not my will, not my agenda, but instead I submit to your authority, right? So let's write down the word submit, Ty. That'd be good. Oh, kingdom. Good thing you weren't looking. You'd be already knowing. I'm sorry. No, go back to submit. We're going to tie these two together with this next word, kingdom. Your kingdom come. And one of the things that's been super fun as Creekcore's unpacked the On Earth as It Is in Heaven series and looked at some of God's kingdom coming. I love this idea of his reign and his rule that has come. And it begins, you can make a case for where God's rule began at the beginning and he's always been sovereign, but like Jesus coming is this beachhead that gets established in Bethlehem as he brings his kingdom to earth and begins this amazing mission that he has for us. So, sorry, that's not it. That's not an R. Relationship, respect, kingdom. Yeah, we probably should erase that. We'll go with, let's go with reign. That sounds cool. Rain. And this is my favorite part about Christmas. Absolute love it. Love it. You okay? Nobody's coming to get you. It's the same place, man. Same place. Christmas is a foray. Oh, you know what that means? Christmas is an incursion into enemy territory. Make no mistake, Christmas is quaint and it's beautiful and it's sacred and it's holy and it's wonderful, but Christmas was a raid from heaven. Don't miss that. Jesus comes on the most epic rescue mission there's ever been to save all of humanity. It's covert, it's in enemy territory, it's in the cover of night, it's deceptive to the enemy, so much so that when the enemy destroys him in the flesh, he thinks he won, and instead, he stepped right into the trap. And that for all time, Jesus laying down his life as the eternal sacrifice for sin disarms the power of the enemy forever. Christmas was a military action. Christmas was an eternal military action, an incursion, a foray into enemy territory to take back the captives and to rescue the lost. Christmas is an epic season of triumph because of what Jesus did. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, submit, reign, good stuff. Comments? I mean, you're kind of teaching with me, so anything else?
Nope.
No?
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add.
You're doing great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Appreciate the encouragement. All right, let's keep rolling so we can keep people tracking with us here. Give us today our daily bread. What are we talking about giving?
Asking.
Asking. Ooh. Can I tell you my favorite thing about being a teacher now? I'm not classroom material. But how many of you ever taught in a classroom? Raise your hand really big just because I can appreciate where you... Okay, this is good. Those moments where you watch students not paying attention or on their phone or completely getting an answer from a friend and the innocence, the sheer innocence that washes over them that I wasn't doing anything. And yet as a teacher, you see everything happening in the room. And the problem is you have that check in your heart because you know you were worse than they were. And who are you to call them out as... No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, quit looking ahead, Turkey. I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Then why do you need it?
Oh. All right, you know what? It's one way to settle this tie. Here you go. Now none of us have it. All right. Well said. Well said. Nice work. Nice work. What the heck we're going to do now, Ty? Okay, so let's put down the word ask up there. I think that's a good word. This guy, let me tell you what. You can still pass with a D- in Bible class, Ty, just so you know. Okay. So asking, really, this is where Jesus says, go ahead and request. Make request. See that R, huh? Yeah, I was thinking you saw that, yeah. This is the part where Jesus says, go ahead and ask, right? And this is really significant because sometimes Christmas reminds us of our perspective of God. We think of God as a really big old bearded fat guy who just wants our wish list. God, give me, give me, give me, please, 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 me, 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 help, 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 help. And that's our prayer life. And Jesus does something cool here. He says, this is not what you should pray. These aren't the words you have to pray. This is the spirit, the concept of how you ought to pray. You ought to talk to your Father who loves you. Remember to honor and respect him in your interaction and in your life. Go ahead and submit your agenda and your will and what you're chasing to the bigger picture of what's going on. And go ahead and ask and make your request. But do it now that you've shifted your entire perspective, right? Jesus says to come before him with thanksgiving, to enter his courts with thanksgiving, and come before him with praise. And we can let that permeate all of this prayer, but especially in these first three, this relationship, this respect, and this reign, when we're grateful and thankful in how we express that to God, what happens is it transforms our mindset, right? When I come before God and I say, gimme, 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 my perspective is all about me and my focus is all about me and my problems and my desires, right? When I begin with thank you and I'm grateful for what you've done and I'm appreciative, thank you, and that perspective begins to permeate my mindset, I get to my list and all of a sudden, maybe the things I thought were needs aren't as significant, or maybe how pressing the issue felt, it begins to fade in intensity a little bit. Because my perspective shifted with gratitude and thankfulness, right? Jesus says, after this space, now, go ahead and make requests. Go ahead and ask, because he's your Father and he loves you. But it's interesting what he says we're supposed to ask for. We're supposed to ask for bread, Ty. What's he talking about? Bread. Does God want us to ask for like whole grain?
No.
No. Because he's like not into carbs. That makes sense. Well, he invented carbs. Carbs are good. They're from God. Okay. Why bread? What do you think?
Hold on.
Bread. Why not like... Well, pizza has bread in it, so that would count. Never mind. Could it be that this is just as like a metaphor or a picture of God providing,
obviously,
meeting our needs? You say obviously? Yeah. Obviously. It's on the screen, duh. What are you talking? Yeah, this is, yeah, for sure. So he asks us, or he tells us to go ahead and ask. But when we ask, we ought to ask within reason for the things that we need. I mean, we never struggle. Is it wrong to ask God for what we want?
No.
No? I mean, Jesus doesn't say you can't ask God for what you want. Ask wherever you will. But he tells us when we pray, we ought to be praying about the needs and the provision. And daily, this is an interesting word, because daily really helps with perspective, right? Instead of focusing on the huge, endless picture and all the what-ifs and all the unknowns, Jesus says, hey, just concentrate on, Lord, please meet the needs I have today. You love me. You promise in your word that you'll take care of me and you'll meet my needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. And I get lost in all of the stuff around me and all the potentials and all the things I'm chasing. Just please meet today's need. Please meet today's need in my life, right? And I think we can tie that into a Christmas thing just a little bit. in this sense, that Jesus is the bread of life, who his coming provides and meets our eternal provision. And when our eternal need is met, all of a sudden, the daily stuff kind of takes a back seat and more of that perspective shifts, right? When we recognize that for all eternity, we are safe. For all eternity, we're secure. For all eternity, there is hope and life and joy and peace and great things that lie in store for those who are in Christ. These temporary things that we face, they become, well, they fall into perspective in the right places, right? This morning, we have some poinsettias on the platforms and around the stage. And these poinsettias are representative of family members, immediate family members of folks that have passed away this calendar year. And as a church, we pause to remember those losses and to just honor them in this space through the Christmas season. And there's a few extras that are for just remembering and the general losses that all of us experience in extended family and in friends and even coworkers and acquaintances. There's loss around us. But Jesus helps us because of the eternal reality of salvation through Christ and freedom and life and hope. He transforms our perspective to be able to navigate the temporary in a different kind of way. Because we can see that these are temporary things, right? And the temporary things that we suffer, well, they're really accomplishing for us something that far outweighs them if we continue to walk in Christ. So whatever our losses, whatever our hardships, whatever our needs, whatever the struggle, every day, your Father loves you. Talk to your Father in respect, for sure, right? Remembering that he's working out a purpose. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He's got a plan. Submitting to that plan, even if it's not what you want. And asking him to meet the needs of your life. It's okay and it's good. But it transforms our perspective in how we pray. It's not all about us. It becomes more and more about his kingdom and his bigger purpose that he's bringing to bear in us. And that's a cool thing. Wish I knew what was coming next. All right. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What's this word debt, debtors? What's that mean, Ty?
A debt is... So when you're in debt, like if I bought a car with the amount of money I didn't have, I'd be in debt.
Oh. This sounds like a FPU promo for our upcoming Financial Peace University class in January. Don't miss it. That's good. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I think this is a fine translation. Forgive us our debts. Forgive those who are debtors or have forgiven debts, whatever. But I don't like it anymore. And here's why. Because I think this is too weak of a translation now in our culture. Because we all kind of got some consumer debt or some mortgage debt or some student loan debt or some auto debt. And debt is just sort of what we roll with and we all have and we all navigate and just part of life, right? Well, I think Jesus means this more intensely. I think sins is the right description for our translation. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. I think Jesus wants this to be a little intense. And I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite things Jesus does. Because Jesus has us walk right into this snare. He says, this is how you should pray. Forgive us as we have forgiven. What's that mean, Ty? As we have forgiven. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. What's that mean?
Like people who hurt us?
Yeah.
That we forgive them?
We're supposed to forgive them?
Yes, absolutely.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have hatred in your heart. You should forgive those who hurt you.
You talking directly to me, or I felt real personal?
Everybody,
okay, good. Okay, so making sure I didn't know if you knew something. Okay, as we forgive, right? This word as, it's in the same way or just like. See what Jesus did to you? He said, Brody, pray like this. Jesus, forgive me just like I forgive Tim, that jerk at school. I don't mean that, Jesus. Forgive me better than I forgive Tim the jerk at school, right? Too late. Jesus already got you. He wants his people to be people who forgive. And he forgives in the same way that we forgive. Boom, drop the mic, right? That's good. So if we're not people who forgive, what place do we have to ask God to forgive us? We have been forgiven. we ought to forgive, right? And this is where some great news on the Christmas scene shows up. Because our sin debt, right? Our sin debt is forgiven by Jesus. It's canceled. And because he comes at Christmas, and because he lives and he dies, he cancels our sin debt for those of us who come to him. And because we've been forgiven for all eternity, guess what we can do in the silly little temporary stuff that we endure in this life? We can forgive too, right? I mean, come on. I got an epic mansion and endless joy forever, but I'm still going to be mad about that one thing that happened that really wasn't fair. We've all experienced some pretty hard things in this world, and some brutally hard. And I don't mean to make light of it. But it's my prayer, and I think it's how Jesus taught us to pray, that we would be people who are so consumed with the fact that we've been forgiven much that we can forgive much as well. And we don't have to hold on to the bitterness that eats us and destroys us, and instead, we can just love because he's loved us. I think that's a beautiful picture of what Christmas is about. Lead us, not an invitation. What's leading us? Wait, we're supposed to be writing stuff down, aren't we? Oh, man. What was that? Ask, submit. No looking at notes. All right, Titus.
Now you're cheating again.
I'm not cheating. I just dropped this note on the floor. I had to pick it up. Did you get the ask and request in there? You did? Did you get the forgive and the reconciliation?
No.
Okay, good job.
Wait, what was it?
I don't remember.
Reconciliation?
Okay. Forgive. And then we're going to have Ty write the big word, reconciliation. Why do you think I picked this one, man? I mean, in love. I've learned a really good trick in school that I use. I write in cursive on the board really fast. Kids are like, what is that? I'm like, you can't read cursive. What's wrong with you? I don't think there's two C's in a row, but that's pretty solid. Reconcitation. Yeah, let's go with it.
That's an A.
Stick an L back there by the left, right here. Put an L over here. Then they know it's included. Okay, good. All right, so there's an L in reconciliation. To be reconciled, to be restored in relationship. All right, lead us, guide us, not into temptation, but deliver us, right? Deliver us. We're going to put deliver up there. That'd be good. We'll put deliver up there. And here's what's cool about deliver. There's probably no better Christmas word than deliver. As we think of the little baby Jesus who was delivered on that night in Bethlehem not long ago, well, a little while ago, into some hay in a manger in a quaint setting, he was delivered, right? But Christmas is about the fact that he delivered us because it was a rescue mission, right? And that's what Christmas is about. The baby who comes, who is delivered, but really delivers us. How about rescue? I think that works. Jesus said, come to your Father in relationship. Respect and honor him. Submitting to his reign and his rule. Ask him. Make request. But do it within the context of all this other stuff as well. And make sure your heart's right before him. Be reconciled to your brother. Don't come and give your gift at the altar if there's issues. Go get things made right, then come back and be reconciled to God. Because if there's bitterness and distance between you, there's an issue between you and God that has to be dealt with as well. And we pray that God would deliver us, would rescue us, and lead us, right? And then we get this phrase, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What do you think of this last little phrase? Like it?
I love it.
You love it? I love it too. It's really nice. But I'll bet if you check your Bible, some of your translations won't have it. And here's why. This is my Andyism. Here's why. This gets added later on in later manuscripts. It's not in the original stuff that we have at the earliest evidence of what Jesus actually said. And here's why I think it's there. Because people forgot that Jesus said, this is how you ought to pray. And they started to do what the Pharisees did And they started to believe this is what you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day our daily bread, forgive us our sins. And pretty soon we're just doing a Gregorian chant, right? And just saying words. And pretty soon they look just like the Pharisees, fancy, nice, eloquent words on the outside, but they're disconnected from a heart that's chasing after Jesus. And I think what happened is after you say an eloquent prayer like this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kind of need a crescendo. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Dun, 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 dun. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I say it. I pray it. It's good stuff to say. But it wasn't there originally. I think it's because Jesus didn't want you to repeat the Lord's Prayer to him. I think he wanted you to repeat a prayer that embodied the spirit of what he said in the Lord's Prayer to him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll pray the Lord's Prayer. I'll get on my knees secretly in my house when nobody's watching, and I'll recite the Lord's Prayer. But one of the things I've learned to do over the years is I'll say the first stanza, and I'll stop. And I'll unpack it a little bit with my Father in heaven, who is great, and I'm thankful for how awesome he is, and I worship him. And I'll talk about his kingdom coming and his will being done in my life. And then we'll talk about what that means. And I'll talk about my struggle with submitting to his will and asking for his direction in some places. Not because it's wrong to quote the Lord's Prayer. You should memorize it. You should know it. But if you pray it from a heart that's just rote memory, you miss the whole spirit of what Jesus said. Because he didn't say, what didn't he say? He didn't say this is what you should pray. He said this is how you should pray. Talk to your Father in heaven. Talk to him. He loves you. Honor him. Respect him. Praise his name, right? For sure. Submit your agenda to him. Bring your requests to him. Forgive just as he's forgiven you. Ask him to guide and direct through all that's going on around you, right? And his is the kingdom, and his is the power, and his is the glory, forever, for sure. And if you want to say that because you mean it in your heart, that's great. But make sure that when you pray, it's from a heart that's genuine and authentic. Otherwise, you fall into the trap the Pharisees did, where their righteousness looked good to everybody else. Because you can quote this prayer and not even have a relationship with Jesus. And that's not what Jesus was talking about at all, right? Anything to add, man?
What?
Anything to add?
No.
All right.
Good job.
We should probably pray first.
Go ahead.
You don't want to pray? I mean, you haven't really done much. You just draw up here all the time on the whiteboard. Hey, let's do this. This would be a great way to end this morning. I wasn't planning on doing the Lord's Prayer this Christmas season, but I appreciate Ty's interest and the fun. And I think it's a good reminder for us in our relationship with Jesus. It just needs to be real, right? Because if it's not real, then this Christmas season, you can dress nice and you can look nice and you can go be a creaster, right? A Christian who just goes on Christmas and Easter, a creaster, and you can just hang out at church, look the part. Jesus knows your heart and he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And it doesn't matter what this looks like, right? This dude looks a lot better than me, got more hair than me, shorter than me.
I gave you hair.
You did give me a... Ty did cut off his mullet and give it to me. It's in a bag in my office. It's pretty cool. But... didn't stick. I love this turkey, and I love talking with teenagers, and I love talking with anybody who wants to know about Jesus, because what a gift, the hope of eternity, the truth for all eternity. And thanks, man, for being a part of that this morning.
Of course. I appreciate it.
All right, you want to pray or you want me to pray? I'm good.
You can pray.
You sure don't want to?
Yeah.
We should have Noah pray. Noah, why don't you come up here and pray, man? That's good, because you already got made fun of today. It was awkward, you know? I just want to see if you know how to pray after all this, you know, or if you're going to do something weird.
How should I pray?
I'm glad you asked. I got some music. We're good. But if you want to do a song at the end, yeah. We'll get the band up here. Come on up here, band. Well, Noah thinks of what he's going to say. Awkward, real awkward. You know, you might think to yourself, seriously, dude, you just pulled somebody up out of the stage to pray. Isn't that, aren't I as the pastor supposed to eloquently close this with a fantastic prayer? Listen, I say a lot to God, and it's genuine because I say a lot, right? It's not phoniness. But sometimes It's okay to just be us and talk to our Heavenly Father. So Noah, no pressure, buddy, but don't screw it up. God's listening. I love you, man. Thanks for praying. Go ahead, pray us out of here.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come here together as a congregation to worship together and to learn more about your word. And I just ask that you open people's hearts and ears to what they listen to today and that they take this into their daily lives and into their daily prayer lives as well. And I pray that everyone gets safe travels throughout this Christmas season and that you guide us and help us throughout our daily lives. Amen.
Amen. All right, love you, church. Have a great day in the Lord and an awesome week in Him. Let's go be real out there.